You may be seated. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As I was sharing with the children, sometimes the overflow of things can be not so great. What comes to mind are images of, perhaps you've seen it on TV or in a movie, or I think most recently I saw it on a commercial where a bathtub gets filled up to the top and just begins to spill over the edge and onto the floor. Can you imagine the damage that it wreaks if it's upstairs, all the water, you know, flowing down into the first floor? What a mess. Not such a good overflow. Or if you've ever opened a 2-liter bottle of soda and it's been shaken up, or perhaps there's just too much carbonation in it at the moment, I'm sure experienced it overflowing all over the place, maybe onto your kitchen counter and floor, and having to clean up that mess then as well. Or if you think of a river certainly overflowing can be quite damaging, especially if people are living there near it and all the damage that can incur, uprooting people and from their homes and totally destroying their livelihoods. And then when I brought it down a little closer to home, here in Frederick County, at the parsonage where Dave and I and the kids used to live, we had a septic tank, as do many people out in the county. And when I think about a septic tank overflowing, I think that would be the worst thing of all, really. Pretty gross. And that got me thinking because, as some of you know, but many of you might not, I am now working at Caroline Furnace Lutheran Camp and Retreat Center part-time, 15 to 20 hours a week, trying to help develop some more retreats for adults. And we at Caroline Furnace have our own water treatment plant that services all of our cabins where our children go for camp in the summer, as well as the lodge where we make all the meals, and the upper room, which is a gathering room for worship services and all kinds of fun stuff. The water treatment plant needed repair. The tanks were corroding and needed to be sandblasted and then re-epoxied to the tune of $60,000. And if you're not familiar with Caroline Furnace finances, we struggle to meet monthly regular bills. Does that sound a little bit like an organization we're sitting in right now? Anyway, so at Caroline Furnace, we had to come up with $60,000 for this sorely needed repair. Otherwise, camp would stop being able to be had, and so many things would not be able to happen at camp any longer. It would virtually shut the place down. So we went out and started asking donors and friends for the money. And we came up with all of it in short time, 3 or 4 months. This place, Bethel Lutheran Church, when we received from the estate of Louise Hostetler, a longtime member, I don't know if you remember, if you were here when we voted to have $4,400 from her estate go to the repair of that poop plant at camp. But we did, and we were one of the very first donors to do it. So thank you so much. And so we've had it repaired, and we had this wonderful dinner just last week to reopen the poop plant and celebrate. And so when I'm thinking about this image of overflowing, how I don't know if this poop plant and the tanks would ever have overflowed, but how awful that would have been. And that now we don't have to, hopefully, worry about that for quite some time. So though overflow, like the children were reflecting, doesn't seem like such a great thing, at our dinner celebrating the reopening of the poop plant at Caroline Furnace, we realized overflow is actually a blessing at times. That the overflowing abundance of people's generosity to give, like they did, to make $60,000 of repairs to this thing was an overflow of God's generosity and the people who allowed this to take place. Caroline Furnace knows so much overflow, so much of people's time and energy for people who volunteer there is, and the love that people bring to this place is abundant and overflowing. So at this dinner, we reflected and we read Psalm 23 and noted in verse 5 that it says, "My cup overflows." And as a gift and as a sign of this abundant love, we had mugs with our Caroline Furnace logo on them, and we tried to fill them overflowing with chocolate Hershey Kisses to give to everybody. We didn't quite buy enough chocolate Hershey Kisses, but the idea was there all the same. And so we realized that overflow of abundant love is present at Caroline Furnace all the time. And I believe it's because of that overflowing love and grace that Caroline Furnace is a special place that it is and gives back that love 100-fold to those who come and experience Christian community and God's creation there. It is ever present. And so, as we kind of talked about in our children's sermon, this overflow can be good, and it can be not so good. And it's true in our gospel lesson, this overflow of fish. It's so abundant, it starts to break the nets. I don't know, that doesn't sound like great news to me. You're going to have to repair those. And then when they bring it on board, it starts to sink the boats. It's going to break these fishermen to have such an abundance. But it's good, it's wonderful, because this is their livelihood. And they'll be able to live off these abundant fish, I would imagine, for quite some time. So it's an interesting image to work with, I think. And did you notice in our gospel that kind of weird reaction that Peter had? I mean, he wasn't like, "I'm distressed about the tears in the nets. I can't believe our boats almost sank. It's an amazing catch, though. I'm rejoicing." No, no, no. Peter says he falls at Jesus' knees. He falls down. And at Jesus' knees, he says, "Go away from me, for I am a sinful man." What? He's not falling at Jesus' knees in praise and worship, thanking him for the abundance and the miraculous haul of fish. He wants Jesus to get out of here, "for I am a sinful man." What a weird reaction. What a weird reaction. "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." I can't take this. This is going to be too messy, I'm pretty sure. It might even be destructive of the lifestyle that I've been used to. And at the end of the text, they're no longer fishermen. They are fishing for people. This is scary stuff. "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." God's overflowing abundance can be hard to accept because it is so amazing. And it gets to the core of our sinful natures. Why would it do that? Why would all this amazing, abundant love washing over us bring us to our knees in confession? "I am a sinful man, Lord." Because compared to God's amazing grace and love, we don't and are not worthy. "I am a sinful man compared to this abundance, Lord." We even saw it in the first reading that we had with St. Paul. St. Paul is talking to the Corinthians and reminding them of the resurrection that in which they believe, the resurrection of Jesus, and that the resurrected Lord appeared to so many, to the apostles, to 500 brothers and sisters, and finally to Paul himself. But he says, "I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Paul knows this amazing grace of the Lord. He was on the road to Damascus when he was converted, when he saw a vision of Jesus who said to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul's heart and mind were changed for the Lord. But in this passage, he's confessing that. "I used to persecute you Christians. I wanted to lock you all up." He's on his knees, in essence, confessing. And I believe it's because of God's amazing grace overflowing in his own life. He's on his knees confessing his humility, his humbleness. I am the least of these apostles. But because of God's grace, I've worked my butt off to let everybody know about this amazing good news. And when we sing Amazing Grace later in the service, that is what it's all about. If you are familiar with that hymn, you know in what circumstances it was written. The man who wrote it realized, he was a slave trader, realized in the midst of it all his sin, and on his knees was like, this is amazing grace. And I confess, I am so unworthy. And it happened to me. Maybe it's happened to you. The best example that I've lived of this is when I was in college, and I was on my way back. I was driving the 7 or 8 hours back from my hometown after the Christmas holidays from Lexington, Kentucky to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And I was not excited to be going back to school after 3 or 4 weeks away. It was a point of turmoil in my life, and I was not looking forward to facing people back at school. And so I was in a state of anxiety and angst and worry. And as I'm driving back, I'm on a 2-lane highway going through some mountains, and I find myself behind this yellow Ryder truck. And of course, through the mountains, it's going slow. And I confess, I did have a lead foot. It's not quite as heavy as it used to be. As I age, I go a little bit slower. But I was fit to be tied to behind this slow truck, and I couldn't pass it. I couldn't do anything about it. And in the state of mind I was in, I grew more and more agitated and more in a just serious state of road rage, so much so I was pounding my fist on the top of my roof of my car and swearing and cursing at God for all the wrongs that I perceived to have been done to me, especially being behind this truck. Finally, we come onto a 4-lane highway, and I get past this truck going much, much faster. And for some reason, I put in a cassette tape playing Pachelbel's Canon and D, different versions of it. And as this music washes over me, in it, I hear God's love. I hear God's joy. I hear God's pain. And they're intermingled, and they're just washing over me. And all of a sudden, I know without a doubt God's overflowing love for me in and through that music. And I start just to weep. And I find myself confessing, and if I could have gotten on my knees, I'm sure I would have, but I was driving, just saying, I'm so sorry, God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for swearing and cursing and raging against you. I'm so sorry, because I know your love. And some voice inside my head, I believe it was God, said, you are forgiven. I've never been so ecstatic about God's love overflowing, washing over me. I got back to school in the next 20 or 30 minutes, and all I wanted to do was go tell all my friends how amazing God's love was for them. It was spilling out of me, and the only thing that prevented me was they would have thought I was crazy. So here I am today sharing it with you, and I can do it because I'm a pastor, and you just think whatever you want to think about pastors. Thank you. But that doesn't happen on a daily basis to me, does it to you? Because our problem, I think, is that we don't think we've got that overflowing grace coming to us all the time. I think we're more like Simon Peter on that night when he kept putting his nets over and they kept coming back up empty. Does your net feel empty? It sure can. It sure can feel that way. But I think that's the devil at work. I'm here to tell you this morning, the devil is a liar, because it's simply not true. Your nets are not empty. You have been baptized, and God's love is overflowing on you all the time. But to realize that your nets are full, you really have to kind of take Simon Peter as your example. He listened. He wasn't real excited about it. Jesus said, you know, put your nets in again. Let them down. And Peter's like, Lord, we've been at this all night. But if you say so, I will. So I want you to say, but if you say so, Lord, I will. Let my nets down again. So when you do that, when you let down your own nets, we're going to use the metaphor of the nets here for everything that you need to let down so that you know your net is full of blessing. You've got to let down whatever it is that's in your way of seeing that net so full of fish that it's almost breaking your nets. Maybe it's letting down your anger. Maybe it's letting down your own bitterness about whatever issue you have with somebody. Maybe it's letting down your fear about getting involved. Maybe it's letting down your worry about your health or your family or your job. Maybe it's even letting down your own woundedness for God and the world to see. Maybe it's letting down your role of victor, whatever you're victorious about. Maybe it's letting down your role as victim and no longer seeing yourself that way. Maybe it's simply letting down your pride, letting down your need for control. I could probably go on and on and on. Fill in your own blank. What do you need to let down into the ocean so that that net can return full of fish? Listen to the Lord and let down all that keeps you from realizing that your net is overflowing with blessings of family, of friends, of church, of music, of laughter, of joy, even and probably especially in the midst of all life brings that's not so great. This place, Bethel Lutheran Church, is overflowing. Have you noticed it? The music speaks loudly of the overflowing nature. Judy was up here saying, we are full, we are full. Our volunteers are overflowing. Your generosity is overflowing. Do you know how many people we have here who are gifted? Everybody. Everybody here is gifted and overflowing with those gifts. It is amazing when you stop and think about how much this place is overflowing with God's love and mercy and grace. And what should our response be when we finally know without a doubt that our nets are full? It's that we should fall down at Jesus' knees and confess. We don't get it right all the time, do we? We certainly don't deserve all this overflowing love and grace. And yet that's exactly when Jesus said to us, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. They left their everything they had and followed him. Because not only does Jesus say to us, do not be afraid. Even in the midst of your sin, I am overflowing love and grace and mercy upon you. But my blood, my body, my spirit overflows on you all the time. Here at this meal, here in this place. And so you too are called to follow him out into the world and overflow onto everyone around you so that this world might know God's love and grace and mercy as well. In Jesus' name, amen.